Good morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this steamy sixth Sunday after Pentecost. I have a couple of announcements. You know, Pittsburgh weather just has this habit of messing things up. So our yard cleanup day didn't happen yesterday. I don't know if there are plans to reschedule quite yet, but I will keep you updated on that. You are always welcome to come out and tend to the flower beds and such, but also it's hot and gross outside, so you know, be careful. I would rather you did not get heat stroke here. I realized this week that I haven't really been, communicated well with you. I haven't updated you about some of the changes that are happening in the office. So our secretary's son, she's moving to Chicago to further her music career, and her last day with us is going to be July 19th. And we have hired a gentleman by the name of Paul Contento. He has quite a bit of experience and a great amount of creativity. So he's been training with Sun and Allison, our previous secretary, over the past few weeks, and he is ready to take over. So July 24th, I think, because the 19th is a Friday. Paul Contento will be in the office as our new secretary. We have also hired a bookkeeper. Kim Lewis has been working behind the scenes, mostly from home. She's helping us to clean up our QuickBooks and to bring our accounting up to date so that we can have a better insight about where we stand financially as a church, and then she can help us maintain best practices as we go forward. So she's not really in the office ever, but if you ever have any accounting issues, bookkeeping issues that you need to discuss, let me know and I can get you in touch with Kim. Finally, I sent out an email earlier this week about BJ's 80th birthday party. Her family is hosting a party here at Glenshaw Valley on Saturday, August 3rd, starting at 4 p.m. And because you're all a really important part of BJ's life, family wanted to make sure that you were invited. So if you plan on attending, please sign up on the sheet in the back, and that way they can plan on how much food and things like that to have. And nobody asked me to say this, but I would ask that you do not bother BJ with plans for the birthday party. She has spent so much time taking care of all of us. Let's let her family take care of her. Any other announcements that I'm missing? Oh, we do have our guest pianist today. We've got Aislinn, which is, why am I, I forget names. See, Mickey. You know what, you called her by the wrong name earlier, so I'm not even that embarrassed. Aislinn is Mickey's niece, and she's going to be accompanying Mickey today. So, you know, pay attention. It's beautiful. She did the prelude, so I'm pretty confident that she's going to do a great job. Anything else I need to? Okay. With that, let us gather together our hearts and minds and place our cell phones in their most prayerful and meditative settings, and come together with our call to worship. God is mighty in word and deed. God's mercy is everlasting. Blessed be the one holy and living God. Glory to God forever. Let us rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let us now confess our sins to God, whose power is made perfect in our weakness. Join me as we say, Holy God, you call us to boldly proclaim your name, yet we are stubborn and rebellious and heedless of your call. By the power of your Spirit, raise us to new life, that we may return to faithful living. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Siblings, God's grace and mercy are never ending. Your sins are forgiven. Therefore, be at peace.
Now and ever.
Friends, let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. You can please be seated for our instrumental anthem. Amen. Let us now lovingly lift up our prayers on behalf of the church and the world and for one another. Please pray with me. Almighty God, we come before you this morning with full hearts, with joys and sorrows all mixed up together. We rejoice in the beauty and the miracle and majesty of creation. We rejoice in the simple pleasures of summer's rhythms. And we rejoice in this community of faith, in the love that we have for one another and in the service we provide, and in the faith we express to you, God. Alongside all of this rejoicing, We grieve too, God. We lift up in prayer those for whom this week has brought not blessing but curse. Those who have been ridiculed, hurt, lost, or lonely. We pray for the victims of natural disaster and famine and war and violence. We pray for those whose work brings them into harm's way. Emergency personnel, soldiers, mediators, activists. We pray for those who seek peace in the face of overwhelming hate. And we pray for those who need our love the most. And you ask, and ask you to bring us to them. We're grateful for the privileges we have in this country, God. For the freedom to vote and worship, for access to education and medical care. But help us to remember that a privilege is not a blessing until it is shared. Help us to bless our country. We pray for those here and around the world who live under persecution from their governments, who suffer from limited resources and blatant corruption. Give us eyes to see beyond mere statistics to our real human siblings who need our compassion. We pray for those who are sick today, who need your healing touch. We pray especially for those suffering illnesses the world would often rather not acknowledge. For those who experience stigma and shame from their community rather than support and healing. We rejoice in the work of doctors, nurses, therapists, researchers, technicians, and all of those others in the medical profession who seek to bring health and comfort to those in any kind of pain. Risen Lord, we remember with joy and with sorrow those who have died. We admit freely that we grieve, missing those whom we loved, wanting their presence in our lives. Yet we also confess that we rejoice knowing that they are with you, grateful for their example in our lives. We remember the string of witnesses who have brought us to this place, the faithful of the ages who have served you and built up your church. And we rejoice that one day we shall join them in forever singing to the glory of your saving name. Today, we especially give thanksgiving for Roy Weckerly's successful surgery this week. God, we bring these and all other prayers in our hearts to you, giving infinite thanks for the gift of prayer, for the fact that you listen when we cry and when we sing, and that you abide with us every day of our lives. We give thanks for the simple prayer that Jesus taught us, and we pray it now, joining our voices with the millions of Christians throughout time, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, Open My Eyes That I May See. Please be seated. It's now time for our offering, so let us bring our gifts, big or small, to provide for those who bring nothing for the journey. No bread, no bag, no money on their belt, for they are God's prophets. Divine giver, all that we have is a gift from you, and your grace is our sufficiency. Pour out your spirit upon these gifts, that they may increase your blessing to others through the grace and mercy of Christ. Amen.
Good morning. First, I do want to thank all of you for the concern, our church family, for all the emails and texts for Roy. He was a little concerned about this operation, and it went wonderfully. But thank you. We do appreciate you all caring. Our scripture reading is Ezekiel 2, 1 to 5. He said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are imprudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. Whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, and they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. This is the word of God.
Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit. When we become stubborn and unbelieving, open our hearts to receive your word. Then set us free to follow in the power of Christ's love. Amen. So I'm going to take a few weeks this summer to go way back into the Old Testament and talk about some of the prophets. The people who speak on behalf of God. And I think sometimes we take the prophets in the Hebrew Bible just a little bit for granted. They're often like sort of marginal, and quite honestly, they're really strange characters. And they're from so long ago that they hardly feel relevant to today. Like, what does that mean for us today? And yeah, our life here in the 21st century is vastly different from the 6th century BC. But at the same time, humans are basically the same. And my hope is that as we see these prophets responding to their everyday situations, we'll be able to see how God is speaking to us and guiding us to be prophets, both as individuals and as a church. And I hope that you can see that it's perfectly normal for God's revelation to be given through other humans. That the work that God is calling us to is wholly based on the presence and the availability of God's call. So we're going to start with Ezekiel. Let me first of all say, I love Ezekiel. The whole book is just a weird and wild ride. He does all sorts of like really bizarre things. He, you know, goes a long time without speaking. He lies on his left side for a while. He shaves his head. He cooks his food over dung. He has all sorts of wild and elaborate visions. And people have come up, you know, since forever with these speculations on like, well, dude, what was up with Ezekiel? What was up with his mental or physical health? Like, did he maybe have epilepsy or catatonic schizophrenia? Maybe he was using psychedelic drugs. My all-time favorite, aliens. And most of those things have some degree of plausibility. But also, let's not discount God's involvement. We know that Ezekiel was the son of a priest, and he was trained to be a priest before he and almost everybody else was deported from Jerusalem to Babylon. Ezekiel was the first prophet to receive a call from God outside of Jerusalem. And it's because of that call that he is credited with reshaping religious beliefs, the Judean religious beliefs, by making God present in the exilic community. Let me explain. Before the exile, all worship occurred in the Jerusalem temple. The Jerusalem temple is where God lived. If you wanted to be with God, you had to travel to Jerusalem. And that was the worst part for the Israelites that were kicked out. Sure, they lost their homes and all their possessions, but the worst part was that they were removed from God and they had no way to worship. And then they get word that the temple, God's house, had been destroyed. That is the world that shaped Ezekiel's message. If we go back in the very first thing that happens in the book of Ezekiel, right before our passage for today, we're given the weirdness like right off the bat. Ezekiel is sitting by a river in Babylon, and he sees something that's wholly unimaginable. The throne of God appears from within a fierce storm cloud, and it's carried by these strange four-winged, four-headed creatures with these wheels upon wheels with eyeballs in them. Okay. And then Ezekiel hears God speak. Mortal, get on your feet. I want to have a word. Can you imagine how incredibly overwhelming? I would be terrified. I would be filled with awe and wonder. So it's no wonder Ezekiel lost control of his body. He can't stand up. So his spirit enters into him and sets him on his feet. And God continues to talk, giving Ezekiel the essential, the bare minimum essentials of his call. Mortal, I'm sending you to the people of Israel, to the people who have rebelled against me and continue to do so. They are impudent and stubborn. When you go, say to them, thus says the Lord God, regardless of whether they listen to you or not, they will know that a prophet was among them. Ezekiel doesn't say a single word. I'd probably be trying to pick my jaw off the floor if I encountered God in this sort of way. Most interesting to me is that God never uses Ezekiel's name. In Hebrew, he's referred to as Ben Adam. It's a Hebrew idiom that means son of human beings, or in our translation, mortal. And I think that this shows that Ezekiel's function is to be a prophet for the species. And that designation is more important than his individual status. It also works to define a pretty clear line between humanity and divinity. So God tells Ezekiel the essential elements of his call. He's to go to these rebellious people. He's to confront them. They've revolted by rejecting their religious and their ethical responsibilities. And even more, success is not dependent upon the people's response. What matters here is Ezekiel's obedience. The people will figure it out. They will know that a prophet has spoken. The point of sending Ezekiel out is to show the people that despite the hardship of exile, God is still involved. God still cares. God is still concerned for them, even though they're continually sinning and stubborn about that. Directly after this passage, Ezekiel is presented with a scroll. This illumination that I've chosen here is Ezekiel eating the scroll. This scroll is filled with words of lamentation and mourning and woe. And Ezekiel is told to eat it. And even though that scroll is filled with all sorts of bitter words, it tastes sweet. In general, prophets weren't and aren't really sent to deliver messages of sunshine and roses. What Ezekiel had to say was pretty difficult. And people don't tend to respond to challenging messages incredibly favorably. The reactions to the messenger can be even worse than that. Even if, like Ezekiel, the messenger carries a respected status, like priest. So Ezekiel's call story had me thinking this week. What is it that God calls us to? So I believe that we are, both as individuals and as a church, called to be present in the world to enable people to engage with the glory of God, to help facilitate that communication between God and God's people. But in order to do that, we have to have our own ears and hearts open to God's voice, to God's grace, to God's mercy. What we learn from Ezekiel is that God sends both the message and the messenger. We're not always sure how to respond to that because we're accustomed to receiving God's word through Jesus. But God's word is also found in the lives of our fellow imperfect human beings, you and me. That means that God also gives us the courage to be proclaimers. God has chosen to send Glenshaw Valley, spread out on the floor, hardly able to move. God has enabled us to say to the nations, "Thus says the Lord." We live in this culture that is obsessed with measurements and statistics and sometimes wonder what kind of effect that we're having as individuals, as a church. Is any of this worth it? I think about the frustrations that the deacons have come across when they don't get a response from multiple emails or phone calls or cards that they send out each month. Those unanswered calls, the no responses, that's so disheartening. But what I've been trying to help them with, and all of you, is that Ezekiel shows us God has a completely different metric, a completely different measurement for what success is. We are sent to say and do what God instructs. Ezekiel's call, our call, is to speak God's word to the people, whether they hear or refuse to hear. Their response is not our concern. Our effectiveness as a church is not measured by how many people are in the pews on Sunday morning. The only measurement that God uses to determine success is whether or not we have responded to the call. Whether or not we've delivered the message about God's unwavering faithfulness and love. This mere mortal finds that to be a huge relief. The heart of the matter is discerning God's call for us. I am not the only one who has been called. Each and every single one of you has a call that God has placed on your life. What inner nudging have you been feeling? What has been tugging at your heart? What sense of passion has been on your mind? When you think about the future, what kind of possibilities bring you excitement and joy? Take some time this week to think about that. And remember, the only way to fail is to not answer God's call. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn. Before we head back out into the world to discern our calls, let me offer you a charge and a benediction. Go and listen to the prophets near and far. Be prophets and speak truth wherever you see injustice, for God will put the right words in your mouth. Now, may the love of God, the power of Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit dwell richly in you forever. Amen.